from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to this bonus edition of Locked On Chiefs. We hope that you're happy, Chiefs Kingdom. We're going to run down today's recap of what happened on day three with the Kansas City Chiefs. They made some selections, some things that you guys have been waiting for, and we're going to have our reaction right now. Chris Clark, you tell me, what are you happiest about here on day three?
Offensive line. Honestly, it's really hard for me to sit here and say that the Trey Smith pick is going to be a knockout of the park. I do think it has the possibility of being knocked out of the park. I think it could be a home run pick. But what I will say overall, yes, I'm happy they took a tight end. Yes, I'm happy they took a wide receiver. But they absolutely revamped their entire offensive line in one offseason.
I'm gonna tell you this. I know everybody's trying to go back to normal. Clark Hunt said today that they expect to have full capacity at Arrowhead this next season and that they expect to have fans at camp. I think one thing they might have to do is keep the offensive line room over at the stadium because there's no room in the practice facility for all these guys.
I know, right? It is crazy. Was it 8 people now that they brought to the offensive line in one offseason?
It's redonkulous. It is to the point now where you, especially at guard, you have so many players that I think can earn their way onto the field that at this point, there's a couple of takeaways from that positional group that I think is going to lead to either someone not returning or someone getting traded out. Because I think there are guys with significant snaps on here that are looking at being backups at this point.
Yeah, and I could definitely say that that is probably going to end up being the case because you're sitting here looking at this draft and going, okay, now you're sitting here with, you brought in Orlando Brown, you've brought in Joe Tooney, you've brought in Creed Humphrey, you brought in Austin Blythe, you brought in Kyle Long, and you brought in Trey Smith, who I think could be a steal, like I said earlier. And that doesn't even get into the fact that you're bringing back LDT, supposedly, and you're bringing back Lucas Niang.
Yeah. Well, and obviously, Niang opted out. He'll be back. They took Creed the other night. If you missed our reaction to that, go check that out. The last selection that they made, at least we're still in the draft, unless Brett Veach just really wants to stomp on my feelings today, they should be done. And their last selection.
Why'd you have to say that? Don't you know better? Haven't you figured out that you can't say stuff like that?
Yeah, well, it happens. but their last selection today was Trey Smith, a guy that had significant medical issues in college with blood clots. I believe there was some pulmonary embolism concern, and that's why he had to stop playing for a while. If you missed the piece that Jeff Schwartz produced with CBS and Duke Mannyweather, Trey was part of that. And he comes off not only as intelligent and dedicated to the game, but to realize what he went through medically to get back to Tennessee, played a lot of left guard snaps, easily could win the backup left guard spot. I mean, and I assume at this point that they have to keep 10. They'll be lucky to get down to 9 in the 53. And so,
like, without making a trade, yeah.
Yeah, right? So, like, I think that he put himself into the backup contention. And I think he is a guy that could not only make the roster in that role, but could actually be, because of his drive, I like the way he comes off the ball. He could be, instead of going double tight, they could go 8 linemen when they go short yardage and blow everyone off the ball.
Yeah, they definitely have the ability to do that at this point. And you honestly, this guy is a guy that has heavy hands. He can really get after you. He likes to get to the second level. He was a former team captain. I mean, I don't know what you can't. The one thing, you know, people talk about the blood clots. Yes, that's a big issue. Yes, that's why he wasn't drafted in at least the second round, because there's talk that he could have been a second round pick had he not had that medical history. So to get him at 226 is phenomenal for Kansas City. I think that's a great value for him. And you're sitting here and you're looking at it and you're going, okay, well, if he has a medical issue, obviously you're taking a risk with every single player. This is a little bit higher than maybe some others, but at the same time, I think it's worth the risk in the 6th round. And honestly, at this point, it's like, okay, well, you may have your 5 starters for the offensive line for the next 4 years. Orlando Brown, Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Lucas Niang are all going to basically be under contract for the next 4 years because Orlando Brown's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and for those of you who downloaded my board from over on Rogue Analytics, you know that I didn't discount the medical, but I knew it was either a yay or nay. Either he's going to get drafted or he's not. And so I just based my evaluation on his film and what he's able to do athletically. I had him as a third round pick and they got him here at 226. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I don't want to, you know, get into it too much. But I have to say, I do love what the Chiefs did. They let somebody go up, announce this pick, and he proposed to his fiance on stage at the NFL draft. So congratulations to the happy new couple. And Ryan Reynolds is actually already tweeting about it as well, because they mentioned Deadpool.
That's pretty interesting, that connection. Good for them. Congratulations.
This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designated by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for an engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Hey, Chiefs fans,
the things that got done Jets, on day number four, one selling testosterone with Josh Kando, at GNC is offering out a complimentary of bottle, a guy that has a lot of length in America,
and a lot of complimentary bottle of Nugenics Total,
but doesn't quite know what he's
draft
doing yet.
To, like, he 2-3-1.
But this unique man boosting formula is powered by testosterone,
which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels,
and increase energy and lean muscle mass
to grow.
Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of
while he has some upside, like, I don't think that he's filled out yet. His frame, I don't think, is 100%.
Text draft,
but he's somebody
that
I think does help push
draft,
not just Taco Charm, but Mike
messaging
Dana
data
as well.
May apply.
I think that's another
Nugenics
wrinkle
Total
to
T
add
is a great
to
way
it.
To increase lean muscle.
His arm span is really nice.
Energy and endurance.
I'd have to
and
go
like
double
the TV
check
ads
what it is
say,
again.
She'll like it too.
And a half.
If you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenics. There's a reason Nugenics has been the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC for years.
I think he's got the frame to add it on, and I think he's going to be an interesting guy going forward.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but people ask me before the draft, where do I think Kansas City is going? I looked at their roster. I said, okay, I think they can go linebacker, tight end, wide receiver, and center. And they took four of those five in the first four of those positions in the first five picks. So feeling pretty good about that. The one I didn't pick was D end, and it's because, in my opinion, I didn't think that they were going to be able to get a guy that can start. What you just said points out what I basically was feeling. They didn't get a guy that's going to step in and start day one, but they got a guy that could probably start in maybe a little bit in year two and maybe even go to year three. And I think that's really what they're looking for going ahead. And if they hit on it with the upside, it's well worth the pick and it's well worth the wait. And don't forget, going into this season, they've already talked about Chris Jones playing defensive end some. So with Jaron Reed playing in the middle, you're going to be able to have Chris Jones, Jaron Reed, and Frank Clark all getting after the QB in that scenario. And that's a great position to be in.
And if Turk Wharton actually takes the step forward that he may be capable of, there's your other interior rusher that might become a fearsome foursome right there.
Could be.
Now, also on this last day of the draft, they went offense as well in some pretty unique ways. Noah Gray is a tight end from Duke that I think they didn't expect to have to go early for, so I can see why they waited. It was also something that Andy Reid, I think, mentioned in his presser that they specifically understand that he can not only play tight end, but he can play the H, and he can do a little bit of fullback work. He can certainly split out. He is a guy that I think as a TE2, and I think he is immediately into the competition for TE2. He is more of the pass-catching threat in a number of different ways that Blake Bell is not. So I think that this is a really nice, sneaky, low-cost addition to the offense.
And I do think it's funny because I started looking for comparisons. As soon as I saw who they were picking, I went and started to look for, you know, draft profiles. And one of the draft profiles said that in a lot of ways, reminds people of Travis Kelce. I'm not saying he has Kelce skills. He doesn't. But he does a lot of the same things very well. He can get in and out of his breaks. He is very a good route runner from what I've seen. And I think that that is something that could really help Kansas City. And it does sound like he's going to be the same type of tight end as, you know, a move tight end, one of those guys that you're going to line up outside and not be an inline blocker. And much like Kelce is. And actually, I think in some ways that might actually help Kelce even more, because in some sense, in some ways, I do think that putting Kelce in line and getting him on the line of scrimmage from time to time and having this other guy outside and Gray outside could give you different mismatches that you wouldn't have got otherwise.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I look
and Kelce
seeing...
can go from the line. Sorry.
Right, yeah, and it took him time, some time to grow into that. That could definitely be here too. Now, Gray only weighs in at 240, so it's not like he's going to line up on the line right away, but you never know. I actually like the combination of Michael Burton, the fullback, with Noah Gray as two guys that can kind of interchange, that you can keep forcing defenses into their base packages, and both those guys can split out and run routes from the slot. They can run from H. They can just run wheels from the backfield. If you thought you enjoyed watching Anthony Sherman run that wheel in San Diego, you're going to enjoy watching Michael Burton. I guarantee it.
And I knew how excited you had to have been with this pick, because it is a guy that they actually are filling that role kind of like what you expected them to hopefully try to do with John Lovett. And now they've got a little bit of a better athlete and a guy that could probably step in and do something like what they really want to see. So, and to be clear with what I said, I'm not saying that you line up Kelce exclusively in line. I'm simply stating that if you have the ability to put a tight end on the field that gives you kind of the receiving skill that Kelce does in some ways out of the slot, and it's not Travis Kelce, putting Kelce on the field at the same time and putting him lined up on the line is actually going to be a lot of fun to see what defenses do to try to defend him.
Oh, just wait till they get back to that trip set with two of the tight ends out there. It's going to be fun. I will also tell you this little behind the scenes. As soon as that pick was made, I get a text from Matt Derrick. This might be third time the charm. This is John Lovett 3.0. I hope he's right. Now, they came back in the fifth and they went and got Cornell Powell. And there's a couple of significant things here. He's not the biggest guy. He is only 6 foot tall, but he's got a build that is actually reminiscent of Tyreek in terms of the shoulder density, the fact that he can power through things. He's pretty good, not only at contested catches, but also with missed tackles. In the Air Force rate, in the draft guide from Rogue Analytics, he ended up number 12 in the class out of what were a little bit over 30 draftable wide receivers. He doesn't drop the ball. He was fifth in drop rate. Like, he brings a lot to the table. And to get him in the fifth round, all that said, I think the thing that stands out to me the most is when Trevor Lawrence had to do a pro day to ensure that he goes first overall, the guy that he called to catch balls from was Cornell Powell.
Yeah, and that's interesting because Powell actually came on the scene in Clemson with the backup QB when Trevor Lawrence was out for a couple of weeks, and then still continued on having the same success when Trevor Lawrence came back. So it's going to be interesting. I do know that friend of the Chiefs, Louis Riddick, really loved that pick and said that this is really definitely a Brett Veach pick because he is basically somebody that they don't have on the team right now. And I think that that is a very valid point. I do think that, you know, you look at the wide receivers that the Chiefs have and having a big guy that can go up and get the ball. This is exactly for what Louis Riddick said. KC needs this. He wins on the outside. He's a great route runner. He's strong after the catch and in between the numbers. He's a great double move route runner. He's much different than the profile of wide receiver they have now. Veach wanted this. That is exactly what Kansas City needs. The question is he going to be able to play early in his career? I don't think he plays much this year because I don't think he's going to unseat Byron Pringle. But I do think that another guy that I like a lot and I trust is Matt Miller, NFL draft scout. If you're not following him, you should be. Said he loved the Noah Gray pick as a tight end two candidate for Kansas City, but then he goes on to say Powell will have to work his way up the wide receiver chart, but he's an immediate special teams ace. That is exactly how he has to make this roster.
Yep.
You have to be a special teams ace if you're going to make this roster. Because right now, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, all those guys are going to be ahead of him. Who else knows who's going to be ahead of him at the wide receiver position? But if he can play that special teams gunner role, or, you know, contribute being a returner of some sort or some other way, he can get on the field and he can contribute that way and then start producing and getting chances with Patrick Mahomes in the offense.
Yeah, that's another group, much like the offensive line, that I am really happy to see the competition, and that the six wide receiver isn't just going to be a guy that only plays special teams. I think at this point with this group, whoever does man that sixth position will play special teams, obviously, but has the ability when on the field to actually get something done.
Yep.
No, and honestly, I know we've already talked about the guy that they drafted for offensive line, Trey Smith, but I want to hit this again really quick. Matt Derrick just tweeted this out about 7 minutes ago. Signs Joe Tooney, Kyle Long, Austin Blythe, and trades for Orlando Brown. Resigns Mike Remmers and Andrew Wiley. How many is that? So that's what? Six guys right there. Gets back LDT and Lucas Niang. That gets you to eight. Drafts Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. That's 10. Still has Allegretti, Durant, Rankin, Witzman, and Williams. Brett Veach is not messing around. They have 15 deep, and that is by far the deepest that they've ever had an offensive line while I've been covering this team.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They may have had a lot of top in talent at different times, but nothing like what they have right now.
Yeah. It is interesting to see just how they're going to have to make these decisions.
Well, and honestly, I thought Allegretti played well last year. I wasn't
sure absolutely.
That he wouldn't be a starter. Like, I'm not going to say he was going to be much more than an above average starter at any point in his career, but I thought he played well enough to be a starter this year. There's no way he's starting on this line. He'll have a hard time making the team at this point.
Exactly my point. And he's a guy, along with Wiley, that I think could be tradable, that people have snaps on record, that they see what they can do. And quite frankly, it's a long shot at this point.
Well, and it is what it is. And honestly, you know, I've had people throwing their hands up about different things that Brett Veach has done this draft weekend. I honestly get it. I understand why you're frustrated. He's missed on some players, but all GMs do. Be happy you're not a fan of the Oakland Raiders, or sorry, the Las Vegas Raiders, because I think that they whiffed on their draft a lot. And they took three safeties in their first four picks.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And we recognize it's been hard to keep up with the brackets and all the new flavors, but let's remember, when it all comes said and done, there are a couple things that really stand out, like cookies and cream with 17 grams of protein at 130 calories, or almond coconut, which is one of my favorites still. And you can get a serious discount over at BuiltBar.com. By using the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 50% off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
You saw what he's doing with this draft. He is absolutely attacking offensive line. He is not going to let that investment in Patrick Mahomes go to waste.
Well, and I want to include
that's huge.
You're absolutely right. And I want to include one thing, because a lot of people are like, okay, well, Trey Smith, he's like 320, 6'6". I want to tell you guys right here now that in the Athletic Matrix, the Chiefs got two of the top 10 linemen in this draft, in Creed and Trey Smith.
Yeah, I saw somebody else say something about as his athleticism. He is one of the top guys over the past, I think I saw 10 years, and he actually beat out Joe Tooney.
Yes.
So kind of funny how that works out.
Yeah. So he's guard three in the Athletic Matrix in this class. That's what you just got. In a sixth round pick
at 226.
Yeah, it's incredible. And
honestly, with blood clots, I think that's something. And honestly, I know I'm not a medical expert, so please don't take it like I am. But that's something that you can actually, you know, if you know you've had that problem, there are medicines that can help with that. So to me, I would think that is definitely, you know, don't get me wrong, it's something that's important to watch, and you absolutely have to make sure you take care of it. But to me, that's not something that should keep a team from drafting a guy like this.
No.
So,
and especially when he had the issue and he's come back and played seasons since then.
Yeah,
he played over 700
All-American
2020.
he was top all SEC for the past 2 years for the Volunteers. And, you know, I was watching the NFL Network draft the entire draft. And Charles Robinson, I love Charles Robinson. He is from Tennessee, and he just raved about this guy. And, you know, talking about him being a captain and being one of the best players in Tennessee. And Tennessee, granted, they haven't really been challenging for a national title, but they're still a good football team. You know, being a top guard in the SEC still means something. That is a huge deal. So I cannot be happier about this offensive line going forward, because you're absolutely right. They're going to have some people that they've either got to trade or that they're going to cut that actually could be another team's sixth best offensive lineman. And right now they may be the 12th or 13th for Kansas City. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's going to be great to watch. It's healthy competition goes a very, very long way. So,
well, folks, you got to wonder how's it going to play with the salary cap now? I mean, you bring back Andrew Wiley. Is Andrew Wiley going to be here? He's counting for $2 million against the cap. They could cut him right now and save $2 million.
He's a guy that I think has trade value, though. There's no reason to cut him yet.
Well, okay. I'm just saying he doesn't. It's not something that they actually have to pay this year. I mean, it's possible that he won't be here with the way that this draft and the free agency turned out. I understand why they tendered him, because you always want as many options as you can, and it doesn't cost you anything to tender him. Now you could go and trade him, and you could get some value out of that. You know, I still think that Mike Remmers will be here, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, you're sitting here looking at it. Mike Remmers, you thought maybe was going to be the starting right tackle. I think that's going to be Lucas Niang. And is Kyle Long going to be the starter at right guard right now? I would have thought so, but with Trey Smith being drafted and with LDT supposedly coming back, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's exactly. I mean, you're sitting here doing the same thing I'm doing. With our hands, and you can't see it because we're just recording audio, but we're both sitting here with our hands up going, I don't know, but it's a great problem to have.
Exactly. That's the thing, is like, for everything that was frustrating about last season, from Schwartz going down early to losing Fish with one game left to play, like, this is the exact opposite of,
yeah,
how are you going to squeeze them on this roster?
Well, and here's the thing, and I know people are going to call me crazy, and that's fine. I will say this out loud, and I probably shouldn't, but I haven't been this excited about an offensive line since Willie Rofe and Will Shields, and those guys were here.
Well,
and Brian Winters, I just haven't. This offensive line, in my opinion, has the top end talent to be able to compete with that kind of offensive line.
Think about this too, and think about what this organization has done this weekend. Think about what they've done the last 3 months, Brett Veach in particular. You went to the Super Bowl back-to-back. Yes, you fell down there. Your elite MVP quarterback said, I could have played better. We could have run the offense better. In Green Bay, the other MVP...
I was just about to say that.
Well, the other MVP has been screaming for a wide receiver for 3 seasons. They refuse to do it now until he says he's not going to play for him anymore. Brett Veach has gone out and completely rebuilt not just an offensive line, but the Great Wall of China in front of Patrick Mahomes, and he didn't have to do anything about it. It's a difference in the way that you go about building your roster, and it's a reason why free agents come here. It's a reason why people are attracted to this franchise at this point, and it only gets better from here, because there's enough talent here that's young, that's going to be on rookie contracts, that you're going to have Patrick Mahomes protected up until the last 2 years, probably, of his current deal.
And I will say this. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that Byron Pringle is going to go for 1,000 yards this year. I'm not going to try to sit here and say that. But what I will tell you is that anybody that lines up across from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce this season is going to have more of an opportunity than they've had in years past, because Kansas City's offensive line is going to give Patrick Mahomes at least a second more, if not a second and a half more, than he's had, generally speaking, in the past. And that has got to be scary for defenses. Yeah. So, you know, you say what you want. Kansas City, yeah, they lost some people this year. You know, people were saying You know, are they going to go sign Melvin Ingram? I'm not so sure they do now. I think that they could, but I'm not so sure they do since they drafted a D-end, even though he might not be a guy that can step in this year. But I do think that they could still go bring in Breland. I think they can bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I mean, okay, so you lost Sammy Watkins. Well, guess what? Sammy Watkins wasn't doing anything for Kansas City last year. I mean, early in the season, he played okay, but he wasn't doing anything for this team last year. And honestly, if that's the only guy you're losing, I think you're in a great spot.
I have to think so, too. I think we're all pretty excited. We'd like to know what you think as well. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter and throw it in the iTunes reviews if you would. We put in a lot of work this weekend. If you liked it, would you please go hit 5 stars and leave that for us over on iTunes? We could always use that. I think I'm going to sleep for about 48 hours, and we'll be back with the show tomorrow. Maybe that didn't work out about. Very well right there, right?
I don't know what we're going to talk about with this, with nothing going on right now for the Chiefs.
I know, right? And folks, don't turn off now that the draft is over. We're going to be here for you 5 days a week all summer long. We're about 10 weeks away from the inklings of training camp, so don't get bored. We have more for you.
Yes, we do. And also, I know you kind of mentioned this, but I want to make sure it gets put out there again. Kansas City is trying to say that they're hoping to be in St. Joseph for training camp. And if that is going to be the case, we will have you covered because we will be there at training camp.
Yep.
So keep that in mind as well, that we will be there covering this team. But know that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get into the nitty gritty of some of these draft picks. And honestly, I like this time of year because of the draft, but tomorrow's show that we're going to be recording, because we're recording on Saturday, so we record on Sunday for a Monday show. It's probably going to be one of my favorite shows because I love talking about undrafted free agents as well.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting. Like right now, we're still in the 7th round here with the draft being live, and the phones are all occupied at Arrowhead One. I guarantee that we're going to find some interesting guys here coming up closely. Unfortunately, it won't be Jacoby Stevenson. I'm really, really frustrated with that, but it is what it is.
And I have to wonder, is it going to be, how much of a draw is playing with Patrick Mahomes going to be for these undrafted free agents? And I will say this as well, and this will probably be one of the last things I say. I was just amazed because the different takes from some of the draft guys, some of them were talking about how teams were going to try to take as many people as they could in this draft. Others were talking about how teams were going to try to trade back. Kansas City really didn't do any of that. I mean, they kind of traded up for a guy, but they still had the same amount of picks. So to me, it's kind of a wash in a way. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting to see how many people that are talent evaluators out there that are saying that there was so much talent in this draft, which is always going to mean that there's going to be a ton of talent available as soon as this draft is over. And that's coming very quickly.
Yeah. Look out for Kay Johnson. He's the first guy I'm calling, probably. I don't know. And that will be the last thing, Chris Guest, because we're done. Thank you guys for listening to us today, that is. We appreciate your time. We will talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.